Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
This is a very special episode of the Almost Famous podcast. We are in Carmel by the Sea. We are here thanks to Hyundai. The Hyundai Tucson Hybrid Plug-in EV is an incredible vehicle that's been with us all weekend through this journey, and Hyundai's been with us for a lot of this year as we've had some great experiences. Ashley, I want to quickly say and tell a little story, if that's okay.
I'd love that.
So this weekend, last weekend I was at Indiana University. I brought Jessica to my alma mater for a basketball game. Kilroy's is our college bar there. It's a very popular bar. It was packed. A lot of just interaction with some incredible people, some incredible Hoosiers. I want to give a special shout out to Michaela, Lexi, Sydney, and Jaden. They came up to me, fans of the Almost Famous podcast
awesome.
Since the beginning. And they come up to me, they're like, Ben, we really love you. We love the podcast. I was like, thank you. That's so nice of you. And they say, but we really love Ashley.
It's like very
really
sweet,
love
like,
Ashley.
Really?
Like obsessed with Ashley. And I said, okay, that's great. Ashley needs to hear this.
I do.
She needs to hear that she is so loved and that people are coming up to me telling her how awesome she is. So we FaceTime Ashley. Ashley answers.
It was like 11 o'clock on a Saturday and Dawson was in bed. Ben was calling me. I was like, what could this be? You know, a call from Ben is always something. He's not calling to chat, which is totally fine. Like, we don't, I just never call people in chat.
Yeah.
And Ben doesn't call me to chat either, which is, I like that.
Yeah. Save our voices.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we chat on the podcast.
Yeah.
So this girl came on the line and she was like screaming and telling me how much she's like loving me from the beginning, particularly in the Badlands. And I'm like, this girl's in college. So that means like pretty much she's 22 or below.
Yeah.
And I'm like, were you 12 during that episode?
Close to it.
Probably.
Yeah, close to it.
But that really did make my day.
No, and they loved you.
The enthusiasm was unmatched.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice for
I love fangirls, you know, because I am a fangirl. So it just makes me feel really cool.
Well, and just the fact that they've listened to the podcast. You know, it's a podcast is a unique medium where there is a lot of separation between us and people listening. We don't get a lot of contact with the listeners because we sit on a microphone. It's not like we're doing a live show or we're on stage or whatever. And so anytime you get listeners coming up and saying, I listen to your show, I love your show, it's really meaningful because we put a lot of time into the show.
Yeah.
And as a co-host of yours, it's incredible for me to hear you like them come and say, I love Ashley. Like,
well, people come up and tell me about you being their favorite bachelor all the time as well. Well,
yeah, but they're not saying I love him as a person. Yes, like, he was just a good bachelor.
No, no, they're talking about him as a person.
He was decent on TV.
No.
But it was awesome. So special shout out to the four of them and all the others at Indiana University. It was a really special weekend. We had a great time. Got a tour of the facilities. My buddy Brandon, who is somebody I talked about a lot, who has ALS. You can follow him at Conley Cause and his story. He's a massive IU fan. So he was able to get the tour with his wife.
Is that where you met?
Who, Brandon and I know. Yeah. We're in high school. Same high school. But we went back to Indiana all together. Had a lot of fun. Again, we have a big weekend in front of us. Thanks to Hyundai. The Tucson is an incredible vehicle. It's spacious. You love the heated seats.
Love the heated seats. I also love the roof. It opens all the way.
Yeah, that.
In the version that we have this week, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice one. So anyways, great weekend, great vehicle, great times, all together again.
By the way, the heated seats are in the back, guys. They're back, too.
I mean.
That's a luxury.
Come on, luxury.
Yeah.
We have our first friends here for the weekend. It's Dean and Kaylin. We're going to sit down with them together. Then, Ashley, I'm going to talk to Bob and Clayton, kind of a boys chat, catch up with them. And then you're going to sit with the girls and have a talk with all of them.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
All right. Dean and Kaylin are with us right now. They are two of our favorite people in the world. Dean is just always glowing. Like, he always looks like he is just a happy guy. His eyes always bright.
Yeah, our favorite golden retriever.
Yeah.
I ran 10 miles this morning, you guys.
Really?
Dean, you look like you've been hit by a truck. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I wanted to blame you for this. We were at the bar at the hotel last night, and you just kept making me drink more drinks.
This is a hangover we're watching right now?
Yes,
this is a hangover. I wasn't sure whether he was sick or whether or not
Kaylin,
he was
is that
just
how you remember
sad.
The story happening?
I was worried about your dog.
Is that how you remember? I was making drinks?
I woke up thinking I was the problem, but Rachel texted me saying Ben Higgins is the problem.
Goodness gracious.
Ben Higgins he can be a bad influence. He seems like an angel, but
that's great. So I've got some reinforcements on my side.
Well, oh my gosh.
I feel like this
Dean.
Story is not true. I think I met you guys I think you were already there when I got there last night. You had drinks already in front of you before I even got to the hotel.
No.
This is correct.
No.
So let's just blame me. It feels like the easy out, and I can take it. I can handle it. I would say that the amount of tired you are and how you're feeling is the sign that you had a lot of fun yesterday. Kaylin, I know you went to the spa.
Yeah, I had a great spa day, great girls' day, and going to have another great day. We're going to go shopping. Just, it's a lot of girl time, which I love. I feel like we don't get that a lot. We're not like away from our spouses and significant others. And
that's so true.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was like when we went to Tahoe. We had a great time. Yeah. And you know, sometimes I need like the mommy break, you know? I don't think I need it though in the moment. Well, yes I do and yes I don't. Whatever. That's another topic. I'm more concerned about Dean right now because he looks like he's going to just, I don't know what we should do with you.
Well, just a couple things to catch up with you two about.
Her ring is on her finger.
Her ring's on her finger.
Actually, I have a bone to pick with both of you guys. What? Both of you guys didn't show up at our engagement party.
Oh my God, they're doing it on air. I literally just talked to her about it.
She's gone.
I just talked to her about it and she was like, it's all fine. Oh, it's a podcast bit, guys.
No. My wife went and I feel like when you get married, you're a unit. And Jessica left.
Sent the love.
Yeah.
Okay, Ashley, what's your excuse?
Well, we already told you what our excuse is. We have a child, and it would have been a long 3+ days without it.
Yeah, no, but I get it. Nick's more important.
No, it was a certain thing, you know, the thing.
I understand.
You know what I mean.
No, I'm totally kidding. It's
actually really nice for us because it frees up some spots at the wedding. That
Jessica did go to your engagement party. She said it was spectacular. She got to meet a couple of your friends. She was really happy that she made it out. So you did have your engagement party.
Yeah.
And she is wearing her engagement ring. So how did you find it? Or did you get a new one?
It's moissanite.
This is not the one.
This is not the one. You said it's a what? A
moissanite.
A moissanite? Oh, a fake one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But guess what? They look real. And
I can't tell.
Yeah. I am all down for these moissanites.
So let me ask you, why did I spend so much money on a real one when you can just get a fake one?
I didn't know that was a thing before he bought the other one.
I didn't know this was a thing until like 2 months ago. Yeah. And now I've been seeing them everywhere. And I'm like, oh, I would have totally rather bigger and less money. Yeah.
So
I mean, not that we had to pay for mine, but you know.
The question
Thank you,
Neil
Lane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's special, Ash.
But real quick, before he gets upset, he got a truck out of this, so you're okay.
I got a great truck, yeah.
Yeah, okay, anyways.
So are you done looking for the other ring? Have we given up hope?
There's one more spot I think it might be.
Okay. Where?
It might be in the filter of the laundry machine. You know there's like a catch-all in the laundry machine? I think it might be in there.
Like the vent cleaner that you haven't cleaned out recently?
I haven't touched it since we moved into the house. That's I just found dangerous. Out we were...
Wait, like under it, but like...
Not you know? The actual pull-out.
No, we do that all the time.
Oh, like the vent underneath. You think it might be in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but what leads you to that belief?
I think it might have been like one of my pockets or something, and Caitlin might have washed it.
The drawer? You don't remember taking it out of the drawer and then putting it into a pocket and then losing it?
No.
Why would you put it in your pocket that day?
I was going to go get it mounted because it was just the gem.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah. And
so we just to clarify again, we've been missing the stone, not the actual setting.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is obviously the most like
expensive
part. Yeah. But that's okay. It's okay. It'll turn up.
Hey, Caitlin, why don't you stay around and we'll bring Michelle and Rachel in and we'll just do a little girl chat.
Great. I love the girl time.
Girl chat. Just like the just the show.
Exactly.
Do you guys get your mics. Do you guys remember when you first heard what a girl chat was? You're like, what's that? And then you're like,
shocked.
Oh, it's traumatized. The time when you reveal your feelings about the same man to each other.
Okay, so I actually, because I came in late, right? So like, you know that learning curve that all the girls go through together after the first night and you kind of like figure out what reality TV looks like behind the scenes?
Yeah.
I came in, they're like, we all need to go for a girl chat. And I remember being like, what the hell is that?
That must have been sucky for you. And you weren't able to like learn together.
No, and, they hated me.
That's because you're so beautiful.
I was like, why would we do that?
I always thought when I watched it that those were like organic conversations that people had with each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
Did you talk to your girlfriends though in the house about that stuff in non-orchestrated ways?
I did. Because I was really close with Cassie. Yeah. And I would be like, I think I like him. She's like, I think I like him. And, you know.
Yeah.
But then we can't say that on camera. We're like, I definitely like him. You know?
Yeah. What about you guys?
Yes, definitely.
Once we got used to it.
And there are times where we'd sit down in a girl chat and you'd actually have reflections that you'd go through. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
But they definitely happen more organically off the camera or like off the couches. Yeah. Let me just say off the couches.
Yeah. And then you're whispering and you're being really honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I only whisper good things. I don't remember. Oh, you know what I talked about with my girls was just to other girls. I don't think I talked about Chris Soule so much. Did you guys talk more gossip or like actually about your lead?
Oh, God.
Like off the.
And I'm talking, you know, I have two bachelorettes here. So I mean, when you're part of The Bachelor.
I feel like for mine, I would always talk about how I like felt more. Like, obviously there's gossip. Like, you're always talking about everything. But I was super invested. And I feel like I was talking to women who were also super invested. And it was so weird because I remember feeling like we were talking about different people. Like, it was almost like, you know, you're talking about the same person, but you're so delusional at that point in that journey that you're like,
ew,
it doesn't feel like
that's
it.
Hilarious. That's good stuff. Thanks for letting us know that.
I don't know. I am delusional though.
So no, but I think that's the only way that you can like be friends with, you know, as close as you are with the girls, you have to be like, you're dating someone else. You just have to like put that in your mind, you know?
Well, especially with you and Cassie being, you know, first and then fourth, you guys must have like really been in a weird spot because you knew he was taking you both so seriously. And then I guess Rachel, you too.
Yeah, like
with
Gabby,
your three
Teddy.
Girls. Yeah.
Yeah, we would always all talk. I don't know. I
just
don't know.
Just
like, right? So it really was. Yeah.
Michelle is like, so different.
Wait, Michelle, why is everything so cringe?
It's not cringe. No, I'm not cringing at it's just I had such an abnormal experience.
Because you came in late? Because you think it's all because of that?
Honestly, okay, so to kind of like paint a quick picture, right? You come in late. There's gonna a natural barrier right off the bat. I come in late, I get the one-on-one. Okay, so right away.
Yeah.
That target, right? Instantly instilled as I'm seen as this like B squad of a group that really was supposed to be part of the A squad. We were there since night one. Lee just was very overwhelmed. And so it had that natural barrier. I was so close with Ryan Claytor, who I came in with, but then she was sent home a few weeks later. Eventually down the road, I became close with Bree Springs. But then remember our season finale? It was all about this race scandal. Yeah. So it's like the people that you become close with, it was just a really weird situation where there are all these intense barriers that I'm close with them now. Yeah. But as far as like opening up during the entire season, I really, really was guarded because I felt that target from night one and it really didn't let up. The only time it let up is when shit hit the fan and Matt found out that people were saying some really nasty things across the board about everybody. And that's when people kind of like reeled it in quite a bit. But it's so funny because it's like the camaraderie and that people talk about.
You didn't have it, it wasn't there.
Oh. It wasn't there. And the people who really did. And it was there with Ryan. It was there with Bree Springs. Yeah. But it was very much turned into like a nasty girl fight kind of concept. And then moving forward, once it was checked, then it was all about race and screen time and all these like major, major issues, yeah, diversity issues that as it was, you know, we bonded, but we bonded over different things than the typical season. Mm.
Do you feel sad about that when you hear other people's stories?
Honest, I can't change it. So no, I have to accept what it is. Like you're given the cards that you're given. And so I can sit here and feel upset. And I get salty about not being able to travel the world. but other than that, that's the one thing. That's the one thing that I will joke about I'm salty about. But really, essentially, like I can't change any of it. So if I sit here and feel bad and sorry for myself, it's like I'm only hurting myself. I'm wasting my energy. Nothing I could do. Really, like you just kind of handle it as you go.
I forgot that you're.
But it's just weird.
Also, just like at one place.
I mean, Chris was that whole thing with Chris and Lindsay, Chris and Rachel Lindsay. That all took place. Like
but I'm talking about your bachelorette. Mm-hmm.
You were a bubble season.
I was a bubble season.
You were a bubble season.
I was the one person. Me and Katie Thurston, which okay, but me, you know.
Oh, give us the tea. Okay,
no, that's not a detail. It's just, you know, we were the two people who didn't travel.
Well, then Tayshia.
But she traveled as a contestant.
Oh, so she got
Nemecolon in Minnesota and Mexico, baby. Ooh,
redo for Michelle. I'm calling
it
now.
No, I'll travel myself.
Wait, Michelle, why am I drawing a blank? Where did they take your season place, your own season?
I was in Palm Springs, desert. It was 110 degrees.
But it was the craziest shit I've ever felt in my life. I've never been out there. I was out there for Tayshia's season for like 5 days. I've never felt anything like that before in the summer in August. Oh my God.
Yeah. And then they brought me back to Minnesota.
Oh, that's right. That's it.
Right. Yeah. But you said Mexico too.
And then Mexico is where I got engaged.
Yeah. But so you had a couple little spots. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm grateful.
But Mexico, did you go to Sayulita? You went to like where paradise is filmed.
She's so bitter and I love the sass.
I'm not bitter. It's just like, it is okay for me to acknowledge that it's unfortunate, you know, because it's like, shit, I didn't come out with a relationship.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't want to use the word bitter. It's just like.
I laugh about it. Rachel and I laugh about it.
No
very
relationships,
often.
No stamps in the passport. Like, hey, I'm speaking for myself.
I did get to travel,
yeah, but I was on a boat and I didn't really get to get off that boat.
That cruise looked awesome because I'm a huge cruiser. But like,
my first one.
Oh, really?
It
wouldn't have been cool. I don't think it would have been cool for your first one. See, I think of cruises where I would be like in my early 20s and have cruise boyfriends for a week. And I like pretend to be Jack and Rose. Basically, we would just like run rampant and like it'd be like such a whirlwind romance. And just knowing that it was going to end at the end of the week kind of like made it even more romantic.
But well, you both did have a lot of boyfriends.
You thought it would last, but then they never text you afterwards.
And hopefully you both make it out alive at least.
Yeah, exactly. Watch the sun rise as we pull into final ports and you make promises about FaceTiming each other.
Oh my God.
And then you realize that they have a girlfriend back at home and they don't tell you about.
Well, that also happens on the show too. So.
Oh my God. That's so true. Okay. But like, what was that experience like being on the ship? Did you like, did it feel like you were at a hotel?
It was just different because like we did get to travel on Clayton season. So we would go to these amazing places and have rose ceremonies in these historical buildings by the water. And for being in the boat, which it was amazing, it was awesome that we didn't have to go through the airport, but we didn't really get to see as much because we're so far away from these cities. So we really, I feel like, only got to explore Paris because we did stay in Paris, but then we got on the boat there. And then it was kind of more centralized on the Virgin Voyages Valiant Lady. Shout out.
Listen, guys,
you both have like made me think this, and I'm dying to have an answer.
Wait, what's wrong with
Why am I scared right now? I'm like, why am I scared?
We're joking now about how you guys ended up with no one and you didn't travel enough and all that. Do you look back at your cast and ever wonder what if with someone? Come on, please.
Yes.
Okay, yay.
Absolutely. Do you? For me, 100%.
Both of them?
Hell no.
Oh, no?
Who am I going back to? You tell me. Who am I going back to? Pull up the Rasta. Who am I going back to?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Are you now giving us tea that you weren't down for, you were upset with the cast?
I wasn't upset with the cast. I had a lot of wonderful guys on my season. I truly, truly did. But I definitely figure out whether someone is my person or not so quickly, or whether if they're just not flat out not my person. You know, can go on a first date with somebody and instantly know in the first 10 minutes sitting down.
Yeah.
Right? Like, by the time I got to the end of it, I knew the relationship I wanted to pursue. And all the other ones, it's like all doors are closed on those ones. It's
so
not like I would
go
back.
Like, how did you pretend?
No, it took me a minute to figure. I didn't pretend necessarily, but I kept everything open. But like when I shut the door, like when I really did accept that proposal from Nate, all other doors were closed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not at a, I don't ever see any of the other doors opening, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I had an awesome, awesome nice guys and everything like that, but yeah, no,
I get it. Like, you could tell immediately, like, so
not immediately, but
you're good at closing doors.
Yeah, once the door is closed, the door is closed.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
But
I was very torn, and it was like a very hard, like, I mean, it's a hard decision for everyone, but I remember looking back, like, there were so many different avenues and different lives that you could have with each person. And obviously you look back and you think that, but I also think it might be different because like you and Nate obviously did have a relationship after the show. My relationship was over very quickly before my show was even over. So of course you're watching these relationships back and thinking like, what would my life be with each, you know, different person? Cause I really did have some great, amazing men in my season two. So obviously don't regret anything, but
what happened with Avon after you guys had that moment on After the Final Rose?
I know everyone always asks that. We just were friends, and it really was coming from a place, I think, of him just wanting to like be there and support me, and we'll always support each other. But I mean, as far as relationships go, I think the show is already starting off on pretty rocky ground. So to start off already kind of on the foot you're on, I think we'll always just be friends.
Mm-hmm. So did you have hopes at all that you would be more in that moment, or did you kind of know it was a stage moment?
I don't think it was a stage moment. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people want to say that, and I don't know. I think it was him just wanting to be there and support me. And honestly, like, I would have, like I always said, I would have ran off that stage with Jesse Palmer, with anyone. I really wanted to get off that stage. It was just a really hard moment. So to have him there, it was really, really nice.
Did you feel any guilt in that moment for Tino? Because I feel like a lot of us out there just, maybe not guilt. Did you just like have empathy for him in that moment? Because I think a lot of us just didn't like the way, not you, but the show handled that.
Yes. I think all around it was what I just want to believe is a miscommunication. But like what I've always said is I had absolutely no idea that Avon was even there, because that was a week after I spoke to him. All I knew that day was that I was talking to Tino and I was getting off the stage. The way they went about it, I don't think was right. I don't think anyone should ever be in a position where they and I think coming off of that, a lot of people put that blame on Avon and me. Yeah. And I don't know who you could blame at the end of the day, but it was no one's intent to ever make him feel like that. And I know even now Avon and Tino, I've seen that they're friends again. So I think there's no bad blood, hopefully, across the board. Yeah.
I don't even think Tino thought that way. I think that a lot of the viewers also have enough blinders off to know that that was like a production move and not anything on your part or Avon.
Well, you'd be surprised.
But I know I would be surprised.
It was like they really thought me and Avon just had this planned. Yeah, I didn't even know he was there, and just saw him out of the corner of my eye. And I was just like, whoa. Like, what is happening? Everyone was just really shocked. So,
yeah. All right. Well, girls, Ben is going to take over with the guys and they're going to talk about some serious stuff.
Do Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
One of my favorite things that we ever get to do is get together in person. And we're doing it right now in Carmel by the Sea. Thanks to Hyundai. I got Bob Guinea. I got Cleet with me here. We played a little golf yesterday. We
Very
took the
fun.
Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid EV to the golf course.
Yes.
I mean, Bob, I want to talk to you first. And
yes,
I want
sir.
To talk to you about Clayton.
Okay.
Okay. Let's not just be mindful. I'm sitting right next to you.
So
he's much bigger.
This is the first time I've ever been with Clayton in person. We did take the car to the golf course.
Yep.
Clayton is a massive human.
He's a big man.
And I mean, did that vehicle give him enough space?
So here's what's really interesting. Clayton and I are in the back seat together. We're both tall. I'm 6'3". I'm going to say you're about 6'6"?
6'5", but I got to be honest now. Yeah. With a little bit of...
With the hair lift.
Yes.
I swear we both had tons of leg room. Yeah. And by the way, all of our clubs were in the back. The trunk space was unbelievable.
Yeah. And outside of the vehicle, which was an incredible experience when we got there. Clayton, your golf swing, okay?
Yeah. Beautiful.
We were watching you on the range.
Yeah.
You've got muscles in your back. I think Bob might have them.
No, I do not. Oh. I've never seen those.
Bob does have, but Bob also, he has a ton of charisma. It's just a beautiful thing. Oh, and gosh. He brought the muscles out. Like I was flexing extra hard just to.
I did sort of see you kind of.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I got to measure up to this guy somehow.
But your muscles in your back, Clayton, I believe are restrictive for the golf swing. In fact, I like to stay limber, loose, and have, you know, lack of muscles.
That's how I work.
So that we can really get that club back.
Yeah, with you want full swing, full extension.
Yeah, I would actually say your muscles are restricting you from getting that golf club.
Yeah, okay, what kind of interview is this?
I want to see this too.
Hold on now.
Clayton showed up here. I mean, it's 54 degrees yesterday. Real. Not what you would expect in California.
No.
Clayton comes out to play golf. He's got on shorts and a short sleeve shirt.
Yes, I did.
So I loaned him some of my apparel because I overpack. I'm a notorious overpack.
Yeah.
And my stuff has never looked so good. Mm. Honest to God, I was like, I almost didn't even want to take it back. Because Clayton's like, here you go, here it is back. Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't think I should wear that anymore because you've now been seen in it. And clearly I don't make it look like that. Like the arms on me when I put that jacket on, it looks like there's tons of room.
And yeah.
You saved that story. You say that. I really thought you were going to say it was my lack of judgment coming out here with no hoodie.
Oh, not at all.
No.
And you saved it. I mean,
you just saw you're going to California.
I hear
you didn't realize that California is pretty much north to south. When it comes to the west side of the United States,
listen,
we're pretty north.
Yeah, and I was telling everyone I was coming to San Francisco, not even close.
Yeah.
Monterey. So, man from the Midwest, I'm just going to go ahead and claim that. You know, it's 20 years of my life in Missouri. Now I'm getting shown new things, wearing Bob's sweaters. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah,
that sweater will never look the same.
Clayton, you know, obviously you are a very recent bachelor. We can't call you the current bachelor any longer because Zach's season has started to air.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last year of being The Bachelor, obviously you have Bob here, who is a good mentor, a good friend to many who have been leads, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
But you probably, I'm assuming, haven't been able to be around a lot of other Bachelor people in the last year, maybe, especially for a whole weekend like this.
Right.
No, I haven't. Like, now I'm starting to get kind of hooked into all these different groups of individuals that... I mean, I kind of have a little FOMO because I hear a lot of stories happening and I'm like, oh, what is that? And you're like, nah, you'll pick it up eventually.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I'm the rookie, right? I'm the new guy. No real hazing besides, not yet at least. I guess I still have another 24 hours.
I think what's interesting about Clayton, you and I mean this in a complimentary way, you have no ego about things. Which I think if I had some of your experiences, I mean, you played in the NFL, you've done a lot of, I'd probably have a lot more, I might be more standoffish to people than you are. You are so, you're like, I've never really played golf, but here we go, and crushed it. Yeah. Like he had some moments yesterday when we did the scramble format that we actually used his shot, and the guy's played 3 times in his life.
Yeah.
He's like a really good athlete.
No, I would agree. Thank you. Lack of ego, nice. You've been around longer than I have, but you know, at this point, I've been around a while in this world too. Ego is, it feels like a familiar characteristic of a lot of people that come off the show. Absolutely. Big egos, a little bit standoffish, expect to be given things, right? Mm-hmm. Clayton hasn't shown that at all.
No, very gracious.
So for you, Clayton, how has it been now being around? I mean, Rachel's here, obviously. Mm-hmm. You did know Rachel.
Yeah.
But a lot of people you haven't been around here with in person or probably ever met. How has it been being around these other contestants? Just hanging out, play, having fun. There's nothing that you need to do here other than enjoy yourself.
Yeah, well, I think this is something that we all can attest to. And often you see people on TV, and I had seen a lot of you guys on TV prior or heard of you. And maybe I saw an hour or two of who I thought you were. And coming out here, it shows me, I won't say a completely different picture, but there's just so much more to us, right? We're multifaceted individuals. And it's been really cool, and everything that I thought maybe people might have been has been challenged when I sit down with them. There's a lot of great individuals that are kind-hearted, have sacrificed the ego. I think we all have had in situations where we've come to that place where, yeah, people put us up on pedestals, and then we realize that, you know, sometimes when you're on a large stage, like these insecurities, weaknesses can come out, and you learn a lot about yourself. And I feel that everybody I've met here has kind of went through that journey where they've struggled, then they found themselves, and now they're in this place where they're just very confident in their own abilities. And it's really refreshing to see that as the new guy that's just on the other side of it. I see that, you know, years ahead, and I go, okay, like it's going to be okay. I'm going to be fine. These individuals have found their way, and I will too. So it's been really cool to see that.
Yeah. If Bob and I can do it, you can do it too.
Yeah. There we go. Awesome. Yeah. That's
for sure. You know, Bob, we had a great conversation on the way to the golf course yesterday. I'd love for you to speak to it. We talk about a lot within the Bachelor world, and I think weekends like this have always been healthy for me because you do get to humanize and see people for who they are and maybe what they're about and maybe not what you've heard or what you've maybe seen on social media. But with this world or with even going to high school today and middle school today, comparison is such a prevalent thing, right? You're comparing yourself to everybody else, and if you're any type of critic, you're going to be your harshest critic, and you're going to compare yourself and say they're doing so much greater things than I ever will do or have done. We talked about on the way to the course yesterday because everybody in that car, yourself, myself, Clayton, Blake, Dean, Wells have all felt this way before, right?
Yeah.
It's a great advice. So, you know, when you look at somebody like Clayton, who's just new to this, what would you tell somebody like him who's comparing himself to all these people?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing that we talked about too was that, you know, social media is everybody's best part of their day, right? Like you don't ever generally see people posting things like, man, I'm having a rough time today, right? They're always like, this happened and this, it's always the highlight reel of what they're doing. And sometimes the perception of what comes with that highlight reel can make you feel inferior, you know? And we were talking about it yesterday. We're like, you know, it's not what you think. It's not what you've heard. It's not the stories that you heard about this person doing this and this and this. Not exactly how it went, but you know, it takes a lot more energy to go around and try and correct everybody. So you just let the positive stuff flow and, you know, hope for the best. But it's really about being comfortable with yourself, staying focused on what you are already doing, by the way, focusing on something that you know makes you special and different, you know, with your talk about mental health and your passion for that and your passion for your fitness and building your fan base and your following based off of those things and, you know, creating your own niche and then just really growing within that. And, you know, I think you're going to do great with it. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. That's and. It. We've all kind of got things that make us a little bit different. The common thread, of course, being The Bachelor, right? Which gave us a platform and gave us an opportunity to talk about stuff. But the stuff you're passionate about is going to be different than some of the things that I might be passionate about or Dean or whatever. But, you know, the way you talk about it and the way you embrace it and the way that you take the community that you've sort of been placed into, now it's on you, right? And whatever you do with it is your own. And I think, I mean, from what we talked about yesterday, everyone in that car, I was very impressed with. None of us were, you know, keeping up with the Jones type mentalities. We're all like, no, find your own place, grow, and you know, you'll get there. You know, it's just whatever you want to do, and you got a voice, use it. You know,
yeah,
and you're doing it.
Yeah, and I think it was really refreshing to have everyone just kind of shoot straight. Because I think when you try to keep up with the Joneses, then like that individual walks out of that or leaves that car and they think, okay, here we go. Like now I just heard all this new information and now I'm going to analyze it. And social media has been interesting. I just want to share my story because I want to show individuals from one side to the other. You know, prior to the show, I had 1,000 followers or whatever. I'd get maybe 20 likes on a post. And if I got 80, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Yeah. Now it's like I started to post mental health stuff. It wasn't getting the same response as when I was posting with my now ex. And I thought no one wants to see this. And I was upset because I went from getting 60,000 likes down to 3,000. And it's all about perspective, though. And that's what I think you guys have instilled in me. And I've started to realize is, you know, if you get 3,000 likes on a mental health post, that's 3,000 individuals' lives that you're impacting, plus whoever else just saw it and didn't click like. Right. And so it's just been about reframing and shifting that narrative. And unfortunately, for a lot of us, comparison culture is rampant. We can see people across the world now. It used to be you could just see people in your own town. Now it's like over the entire world. And so every day you click online and you go down this rabbit hole and the algorithm knows how to show you similar things. So you click one person, shows you 10 more, and you end up finding yourself not being happy because you're like, I want to look like that. So it's been an experience, but I think talking about it helps us understand that like we're not alone and you guys have went through this to some capacity. Yeah. And much of you guys to a greater capacity with the amount of followers. And so I think it's just the more we talk about it, the more we're able to make sense of it. And then it's just, you don't feel like you're the only one going through it.
It was a weird switch. I was given some really great advice a few years ago, because you're right. You know, when you come off the show, you are very popular. Your social media is blowing up. You get invited to a lot of appearances. And then when that starts to fade away, you start to maybe at that point, like you are, focus on things that you really care about. Okay, what do I want to do with this platform that's been handed to me for no reason other than the fact that I went on a dating show? I have this amazing gift now. What am I going to do with it? And everybody who's done it well, I think, chooses a lane, like Bob was saying. You know, that might not be the most popular lane. That might not be the lane that's going to get you on television or get you paid the most, but it's a lane. So you choose your lane, and that lane's typically a little more niche, and the likes and the followers aren't growing at the same rate they maybe once did. And I was struggling with that. I was having a really hard time with it because I was feeling like what I cared about, nobody else cared about. And they only cared about me because of my time on the show and because of my ability to date poorly. and somebody sat me down, a mentor from the show, and they said, I hear all this and it's true. Not as many people are interested in liking your picture or inviting you this because of these niche you've chosen. But Ben, why are you doing it? I said, well, because I care about people. I want to sell coffee and give it back because I really love people and I love being a part of their stories. And I think in 40 years from now, what I want to tell my grandkids is not that I was on a dating show. It's that I was involved in this story and this project. And he said, okay, Ben, you care about people. If one person's life is better because of the work that you did, if one of those likes is one human that says, I hear Ben, I see Ben, and now I feel less alone, it's all been worth it. That's how valuable that platform is. And so for you, Clayton, you're doing this because you care about the mental health of others and yourself and the physical fitness of others and yourself. And if one person on there likes that picture because their life has been bettered because of the story you told, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest amount of fame you could ever get, that you changed somebody's life in a positive way.
Yeah. And yeah, and I'm seeing that. I think it's just being able to, well, ultimately find that self-love and that self-belief that doesn't matter how many followers I have. It just because I have a fraction of the followers of somebody else doesn't mean that my message is less important. It can be just as impactful, and we're in different categories, and I don't have to be this individual. And I would post at first for what I thought people wanted, and I didn't have that satisfaction. When I started posting what I enjoyed and what I thought would be helpful, and I got those one or two messages, that's what kept me moving. So, but it's just, yeah, I mean, I think you have to set those parameters in place where if you feel that looking at a certain account is negative, then okay, maybe I can block this. I mean, we have the ability to like hide certain people's profiles, but be more mindful of what it is you're intaking, because what's coming across our screens every day is impacting us, whether we're, you know, consciously aware of it or not. So, I've had to take measures where I said, okay, hey, like limit the screen time. Don't look at certain accounts. You're not that person, but you don't need to be that person. Like, you're never going to be that person. You should just stay in your own lane and be yourself. But that, you know, that just takes time. I think you put yourself in a foreign environment and you're just trying to figure out first how this game's played. Like I didn't know anything about social media. I got an Instagram just because all my friends finally got off Facebook. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm like one of the last ones here. I need to like snoop now. I got to create an account on Instagram. So I created that and that was all I knew. And then all of a sudden all these analytics came with it and you're just like, what is this? And it's a beast.
Well, I would guess too, I mean, being so fresh off the show, mm-hmm. you're probably still very sensitive to yeah. critique and, you know, things people say who have no clue who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I said it yesterday and I don't know if I said it in front of Ben, but I was like, I was one time told and it was the best advice I ever got about that stuff because I was late to social media. It wasn't even around when I was The Bachelor, of course. But it was like someone basically said to me, you know, you're living your life and everyone else is going to comment on you living your life, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what does that say? You know, it says that they're paying attention to how you're living your life, but they don't know you. So they're something they don't like that you do. Like maybe you found a puppy today and you were, you know, maybe they're cat people. So they think you suck because you like puppies. You know, I mean, it can be that
sensitive.
It's not that far off because people comment on everything.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, with time comes perspective, right? And obviously I've got a lot of time in between the time I was on the show and now. And I think that you'll find that, you know, because I think we talked about this too. I'd see like 20 nice things. I wouldn't even, it would go in one ear and out the other. I'd see one negative thing and it would stick with me for days.
Mm-hmm.
And it would literally drive me crazy, like a thorn in my shoe or something. I'd be like, oh my God, you know, a pebble in my shoe. And you'll get to the point as you grow further away from the show where it won't bother you as much. Because I don't know if it means we're desensitized to it or what.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't want to say you become callous because I think callous means hard-hearted and I don't think that's a place you want to get. But no. There's a period where you'll probably feel that way. But you just get perspective, you start understanding your own intentions more.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why did I care about this thing? Well, I want to bring in somebody now who is also a part of the Bachelor world, my wonderful co-host, Ashley. We've had a great little guys talk here with Clayton and Bob. Ashley is joining us. And Ashley,
hello.
I mean,
coming in hot.
I didn't want to jump in. Hi, Clayton. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you in person.
You know, we want a little time down here with the boys. We want to bring Ashley in now because this is a weekend, thanks to Hyundai, with the Almost Famous podcast. We've had an incredible weekend. The guys and the girls spending time together. Ashley, we're just talking about mental health and criticism, and I want to bring you in. But I also, before I do, want to ask Clayton, you know, when did this become the pursuit that you wanted to have? I mean, I'm really interested because we saw you as The Bachelor. You obviously went through a public breakup. That's not fun, not ideal, but everybody in this room's had one.
Yeah.
You're not alone there. So when did it hit for you that this lane was the one that you're going to jump into and really focus on?
Yeah, so for me, I've been pretty open talking about my struggles offline. I started doing that in college, talking about body dysmorphia to my friends, and we were just having these mature conversations, and I felt very comfortable doing so. And so when I went on this show, I was open to the women about it. It was well received. And then when everything happened and the ending occurred and I was in a really bad spot, I at first was very defensive. Any criticism that came my way, even if it was constructive, I wasn't willing to listen. And I was just thinking, like, as we were meeting in person, I'm like, remember the last conversation we had? It was tense for me because I was on the defense, and I heard gaslighting, and that term just like I was like worst connotation of it, trigger word, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget as I was thinking about, okay, we're gonna be, you know, having this talk again, and I realized I just wasn't in a position to be able to set my ego aside. Mm-hmm. I was so defensive, and I just wanted to rid myself of any negative commentary. And so I was in defense mode, but because I was defending myself, I wasn't allowing myself to accept impact for what I had done. And I started to kind of going through after the show where I was just becoming really reflective. And I said, okay, maybe there is some constructiveness amongst the criticism that I can take and find my insecurities and weaknesses, because people are saying things about me. Not all of them have to be true, but maybe there are some things that are. And I found out that, yeah, like a lot of my insecurities were rooted in being a people pleaser since being a kid when I was bullied and I had body dysmorphia and I was trying to please individuals. I didn't like the way I looked physically. So I was like, if I don't like the way I look, why would people like me for who I am? So I attacked my physicalness and then I started to attack the emotional side of it. But there were things that I lacked that were online that I saw and unknowingly I was doing. I wasn't purposely trying to be malicious. I wasn't purposely trying to hurt people, but I did. And so as I started to accept all this, I found this sense of peace wash over me. I wasn't looking, at first I was waiting for people to apologize for me instead of just forgiving myself for what I had done. And I started to feel this growth and this just like anger be released. I'm like, I no longer have to wait for someone to apologize. I will forgive myself for that interaction. And it just started bringing this happiness to me. And so I thought, well, okay, I can just share my journey as I'm going through it with others. And if they see how I was able to get out of this situation and I'm happier after everything that I'd went through, then maybe others can go, okay, if he can do that, I as well can. Similar to like what you guys said earlier.
That's great.
And I'm like, why not just share
powerful.
It? You know, document it, show it to other people. And hopefully it'll get individuals to have the conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. The more people talk about it, the more they can relate. I think the less they feel alone, the more connected they feel, and the more likely they're able to better manage their mental health as they build that support system.
I think everybody's got insecurities too, right? And sometimes when you're put in this situation, people don't think that you would have them, right? Because, oh, he's the bachelor guy and he did this or whatever. So being that vulnerable, I think is a great thing to do.
Yeah. Well, we are excited about your pursuit. Be encouraging you on your pursuit. Great things you're up to, a lot of cool things ahead. Well, Clayton, thanks for sitting with us. Bob, obviously, part of the Almost Famous family. You're a great co-host, great friend.
You're a great boss.
Discipline.
You and Ashley are two of my favorite bosses I've ever had.
We just force discipline.
Yes,
and that's
you
what
do.
Makes us great. Well, with that, this has been the Almost Famous podcast. I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
We'll talk to you very soon. We have some great content coming your way. So, hey, keep downloading.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.